How do you run a business like that and still get reservations?
A trip to Wisconsin Dells takes a sharp detour, and the family blames their travel agent.
People are calling us saying, hey, we need our money back. We didn't have a room. Vacation was ruined.
Why a Contact 6 story about one family's getaway is getting attention online. Plus,
how do you expect people to afford this?
Their cards weren't stolen, but they're paying the price anyway.
I brought on extra hours from my part-time job to catch up on my bills, and now it's going to my car instead.
The financial hit on people who own cars being targeted by thieves. From the Fox 6 studios, this is Open Record. I'm Brian Polson, and I'm joined this week, as always, by Open Record's executive producer, Sarah Smith.
Hello.
Hey, Sarah. Oh, and, of course, by Contact 6's Jenna Sachs. Hi, Jenna.
Hi.
And, Jenna, we've got a couple of stories that we're going to talk about, but first, we're going to talk about a couple of huge months for Contact 6. You guys have been doing really well for viewers.
We've had a couple exciting months with big resolution totals. Every month we report on the amount of money we helped our viewers save. And last month in July, we helped our viewers save about $120,000.
Yeah.
And the month before that, it was $106,000.
When you talk about this stuff, I sometimes think, what am I doing? Because
right?
You guys are really doing things that connect to viewers and making a real difference.
Well, thank you for saying that. But it's really, the high number is nice, but at the same time, our case manager Annette is working behind the scenes to resolve cases all the time, and she typically resolves between 20 to 25 cases a month. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the dollar amounts are smaller, but she's still making an impact. So we try not to put too much emphasis on how much money we're saving in a month, but it is exciting. And what really attributed to that is she had some big resolutions. We helped someone with a workers' compensation claim that he'd been waiting on for a year and a half, and that was a $90,000 resolution for him. There was someone else who had an issue with a home contractor. We got them $50,000. So these kinds of things help toward that total. And while it's nice and we're excited to report on it, I know that Annette is working hard on these cases that are just for $100 or $150.
Well, in some cases, maybe not even a dollar. I know there's some things that I've referred her way that are consumer issues, and I know one in particular we won't talk a lot about, but where she's getting call after call from the same person who wants some sort of investigation or resolution, and it may not be dollar related, but she's doing a lot of work on that as well, in addition to these cases that are getting people money back.
Yeah, she does a really great job talking to consumers, explaining our process to them, even helping them through the emotions and trying to narrow down exactly what their options are, because sometimes people come to us asking for the moon, and we can't do that.
Well, or they don't even know what their options are. And so, and for Annette also to talk with these businesses to go, hey, here's what you can do. This is what this viewer wants. And like you said, it might only be $100, but to that viewer, they're like, thank you so much. That's all I wanted was my deposit back or my whatever back.
And we can refer them to other resources. She does a lot of that too, saying maybe your better option would be small claims court. This is how you do it. Or you can file a complaint with these agencies and they have authority in these matters.
Do you see a time of year where you're getting more in terms of the sort of dollar results? Is there like a, you know, summer's a really busy time or right after Christmas time, or not necessarily?
No, I think it depends on what the issue is. Like, we tend to get a lot of contractor issues in the early summer and late summer for projects that were supposed to start at the beginning of spring. So there are some things that are cyclical like that, but there are different things that are becoming an issue all year long.
Well, you're talking now about a lot of things that happen behind the scenes, and that what makes it to the air is a fraction of what you guys do, but we're going to talk about a couple of cases that did make it on TV, including one involving a family that booked a stay in Wisconsin Dells, family from Salem, Wisconsin. And then the day before checking in, they found out that they had no room and the resort was completely booked. I think that's everyone's fear when you get closer to a vacation is, oh my gosh, is our room going to be there? Is something going to derail this? And they had that sort of worst case scenario. What happened?
So they were planning on going to the Wisconsin Dells for spring break. They really wanted to go to the water parks there. That was really exciting for their kids. And they were having a lot of trouble communicating with the Facebook travel agent that they used. Now, you might hear that and raise some eyebrows. I know
some Facebook travel agent, right? Yeah.
Right. But this is a segment of the business where people are booking reservations. And the Hoffmans, who we profiled for this story, had gone through a different Facebook travel agent before. And the idea is that you get a better deal by going through these third parties. And it's also risky, as they found out, because sometimes the ads can be misleading. Maybe you're not talking with the person you think you are. Maybe the pictures or the location isn't exactly what you wanted. But basically, they were told you're going to get a confirmation number 2 weeks out. And when they didn't get one, they started saying, where is it? Where is it? And eventually they were in the area for a bowling tournament and decided to go straight to Club Wyndham Glacier Canyon, which is where their reservation had been placed. And they got to the front desk and it wasn't there under their name. And they were asked, who did you book through? And they said Destination Vacation. And the front desk staff just went, oh, no. And then they knew they
were. That's a bad sign when you hear that.
What do you mean? Oh, no. Like, oh,
well, yeah. Then they spent the whole next day trying to find another place to stay.
And
they
spring break in the Wisconsin Dells.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
And they found somewhere eventually and they were grateful, but they didn't have that water park access mm-hmm. that was the main reason they wanted to go right. to the Dells in the first place.
So Destination Vacation was who they booked the room through and the stay. Mm-hmm. One thing that we talk about all the time, I say we, but like you and Annette, you know, we talk about the importance of checking if you're going to book something, a contractor or someone, and with the, before you start the work, check them out on the Better Business Bureau, the BBB. Had the BBB heard of Destination Vacation? What's that status?
Yes. Actually, when I reached out to them about it, they responded right away and were like, yes, we know exactly who this is.
So they're kind of like Club Wyndham Resort going, yeah, we know about these people. And
well, Club Wyndham definitely knew about it, but mm-hmm. the BBB has been looking into this company since 2019. That's when they opened an investigation and identified a pattern of complaints. And the result of that is they gave Destination Vacation an F rating. So if someone were to Google them, you would yeah. find that F rating. But they said this year in particular, there had been another increase in complaints. They'd gotten something like 20 in 6 months about just this one Facebook travel right. agency. And another interesting thing that the BBB points out on their page is that they asked Destination Vacation for basic information, address, phone number, and they weren't getting it. And that can be a really big red flag.
I mean, I'm hearing red flags going off left and right, but of course, everybody who's trying to book a vacation in the Dells during the summer is obviously high demand. You're trying to just save a little money because you know you're going to spend and you're going to have a good time. So you're looking for a way to do that. What I'm trying to figure out is how this works. You said sometimes these Facebook travel agents can save you money. How? How does this work? How is it supposed to? And kind of what went wrong here?
So Destination Vacation is a third party. And what people may not understand when they book through them is that they're not booking directly with the hotel. They're not booking directly with Club Wyndham. Mm-hmm. They're booking with someone who is working with the owner of timeshare units. So these are people who own timeshares in the Wisconsin Dells who are choosing to rent out their units through this person. Her mm-hmm. name is Colleen Wagonessa, and she operates Destination Vacation. And there are issues with that, because you think you're guaranteed this reservation, right? But really, it's dependent on a number of factors. And as a lot of people found out, when they went to check in, they were learning, well, the owner of that unit was blocked by Club Wyndham from releasing it. So we can't rent it to you after all. Maybe there was a blackout period that Club Wyndham had put in place on these owners, and the unit had been rented out, and they didn't figure out until the last minute.
And Destination Vacations yeah. didn't know about these in advance. They don't know
supposedly,
the blockout dates.
They say that since COVID, there have been new restrictions put in place on Club Wyndham owners that limited how often and to whom they could rent out their timeshare units. And they do this to try to pay down their membership or their ownership costs mm-hmm. Because maybe the timeshare wasn't what they thought it would be, and it's more expensive than they thought it would be. And the owner of this business, Colleen, would say, Wyndham is screwing over their timeshare owners by putting these restrictions in place once they have their contracts and they can't get out of their contracts. So you're really putting them in a tough spot. Club Wyndham would say, actually, we have a portal for this. It's called extraholidays.com. It may not be as good a deal for the owners or for the people renting them, but this is the guaranteed way to get your reservation. What she is doing and what Destination Vacation is doing is not guaranteed. And that's misleading for some of the people who didn't quite understand that by going through this back door to get their reservations, it might not actually be a sure thing.
And that's kind of the whole, like, too many cooks in the kitchen almost, like mm-hmm. timeshares versus just renting a hotel room or reserving a hotel room through a resort.
Right. And when we reached out to Club Wyndham, that was what they recommended. They said, if you're going to book these reservations, you have to go through someone who can guarantee that you're going to get it and that the money is going to be exactly what you think it's going to be, what the policies are. It's all clearly laid out. So that can be a problem if you're trying to get a better deal, but really you just made things a little harder for yourself.
What strikes me, and I mean, you're both moms, and I know you've both traveled, and so you've had to book things like this. And I think when you book a reservation in a place like the Dells, what's the first thing you want to see once you've made that reservation? You want a confirmation, email with the information, and here's where you're going to stay, and that's the total amount, and here, how much is due now. And so when they didn't get that, it seems to me like that was a big red flag. But it sounds like Destination Vacation sort of planted the idea that, well, you're going to get it 2 weeks out, so no worries, you'll get it. You know, that's our process. And you go, okay, I guess we're fine. It seems to me like, though, really moving forward, that would be a red flag. If you don't get confirmation right away when you book, that's probably a sign there could be some issues. Yeah,
I would think so. But if you are in this position, I mean, save all the documentation you can in case you need to pursue a claim. Pay with a credit card, because then you have a better chance of filing a claim and getting your money back. But there was ample information about Destination and Colleen Wilgernessa online. We looked at small claims records, and there was quite a bit there. That's a red flag as well. So we were able to get complaints for 8 small claims cases that were filed. And 4 of them were very similar to the Hoffman's case, basically saying we booked this room, and as we got closer, our reservation was canceled at the last minute, and we weren't able to get a refund within this period of time. Maybe it was weeks, maybe it was months, maybe it was a year. And there were also complaints about other states and other locations. So maybe a trip to Florida to a timeshare there. There was someone who filed a complaint this year saying they went to Aruba, got to the hotel, and found out they didn't have a room.
That's different than the Dells. Wow.
Right. And they had to pay twice. Luckily, they were able to get a room in Aruba, but they had to pay twice over for their stay. And then they were unable, according to this complaint and the time it was filed, to get their money back.
Do you know, I'm sorry to jump in, but was there any indication up front that these were timeshare units? That's one of the things that strikes me is, I think I might hesitate if I'm looking to book a room in the Dells and, oh, that's a great deal. And they go, well, this is a timeshare and we're going to have to kind of wait to see how things play out. That would be different than...
Well, I can tell you from looking at the Hoffman's message history, which they provided me with, there was talk of the owners need to put your name in. So there was some reference to the owners of the unit saying they can't do this until 2 weeks out. That's why you can't get a confirmation number. And in those small claims cases, there were a couple references to owners. So people seem to understand that they weren't booking directly with the Wilderness Resort or another major resort.
I wonder, is that intended to suggest or at least leave the suggestion that the owners are the owners of the resort, not of timeshare units? Because they're not coming out and saying these are timeshare owners. Do you get any sense that that was an intentional omission?
I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it does certainly seem misleading when you see an advertisement. And I have seen some posted since. People have been sending me copies of other ads. They say this woman is still posting on different Facebook pages, but it doesn't reference, doesn't say timeshare on there. But people go through Facebook because they think they're getting some sort of deal by going around, you know, the usual process. And maybe they expect that from that process, but at the same time, they think they're going to have a room. So maybe they are a little more lenient when it comes to the confirmation number and so on, but they think they have a room.
Did the Hoffmans get a refund? I know you talked about in some of those complaints that some were able to and some were not. So did the Hoffmans get a refund?
They did, but they had to do a lot to get it, and it took several months. So what they did is they put a lot of comments on the Facebook page for Destination Vacation. They got blocked. They filed a BBB complaint, and they filed a complaint with the Kenosha County Sheriff's Office. And Kenosha County said they're still looking into this issue. And after all that, they finally got their $685 back. But after our story aired, there was a lot of activity online about it. And there were a number of people saying they had had similar experiences and they were not able to get their money back, or they had to go to this step and this step and that, you know, and so on to try to get their money back. So that was another interesting part of this story, just seeing how, especially on Facebook, this story was just spread all over the place.
So many of your stories have takeaways, and this one seems to have some clear ones. Number one, look up whoever you're booking through. Find whether it's the BBB or you're looking in CCAP or wherever it is. Check them out, especially if it's someone you're not familiar with. You know, if you're booking through Expedia, okay, we've heard of them. We know that's a legitimate, you know, travel booking or whatever agency aggregator. But if it's someone you haven't heard of on Facebook, check them out, right?
Absolutely. And you should also just think about the risk of going through some of these third parties. We see this sometimes with airlines, right? Mm-hmm. So people will book tickets directly with an airline. But if they go through some of these third-party sites, it's harder to get a refund from them sometimes. So that's just something to consider. Is the extra cost worth avoiding the stress that might come and the risk that might come with going through a third party?
Now, one of the things, too, is when the story aired, I remember talking to you the next day. And you said, I have heard from so many people since this story aired. What were they saying after they had seen the story?
They were saying different things. Some of them just wanted me to know that they'd had a similar experience. Mm-hmm. And some were saying, I have a vacation with this company.
Oh, no. Should I be worried?
Yeah. Right. And quite a few have written to me saying, I've asked for a refund from her and I haven't gotten it yet. And she's not responding to me. So that's something that's also happened.
Is there a point where this crosses into criminal fraud? I mean, is that something that, because I know the Department of Justice sometimes will take, when there's a string of cases like this, they might investigate. Have you gotten any sense that that might go this direction or not necessarily?
I don't know. I mean, Kenosha County has said they're still looking into it. I know that some of these individuals, when they filed complaints with various state agencies, they've been told this is a small claims matter. But this might be something that maybe Club Wyndham might step in to take some action. I'm just speculating, but this might be something that ends up with some sort of suit if they collect people together and share their experiences. I've heard some rumblings that people want to get together and do something as a group, but that has not materialized yet. This story only aired a few weeks ago.
Well, and then one more thing. So like my family and I, we did go to the wilderness a couple months ago, and I noticed that these timeshares and, you know, people were even asking us about, do you want to come to a meeting about these timeshares? Mm-hmm. And so the Club Wyndham is on the same property as the wilderness. So how does the wilderness feel about all of this?
Right. So I did reach out to the wilderness because this Club Wyndham Glacier Canyon is adjacent to the Glacier Canyon Lodge, which is a wilderness lodge. They're in kind of adjacent wings of the building. And we reached out to them saying, you know, would you like to comment on this story? And the wilderness basically said, we are owned and operated separately. The one thing that confuses people is that when you rent or you are a Club Wyndham owner or your guest staying in one of those timeshares, you can use the water parks. Mm-hmm. So that makes it
there's
seem
an association,
like they're working
certainly.
Together.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But they basically said, we're owned and operated separately. Please don't confuse us. We're not the same thing. But they also said, if you want to avoid this problem, book directly with the wilderness or with Club Wyndham.
Mm-hmm. Well, on to another issue that affects the owners of certain Kia and Hyundai vehicles. And we've talked about that on this podcast before. These are vehicles thieves like to target. But Jenna, in this case, you talked to a woman whose car has not been stolen, and yet these thefts of other people's Kias and Hyundais are costing her hundreds of dollars. What's going on there?
Right. We talked to Jane in Kenosha. She reached out to us because she has a 2020 Kia Forte, and it's never been stolen. But because this is a vehicle that thieves have been targeting over the last few years in Southeast Wisconsin, her rates are going up for what she pays for her insurance coverage for the vehicle. So she paid $116 a month back in the fall. I should point out she has homeowners and auto insurance through State Farm. The homeowners is like $10 a month. So the increase is associated with the auto insurance. So she went from $116 a month in the fall to $139 a month in the winter. And then this summer she learned it's going up to $210 a month. So yeah. That's quite a bit of an increase. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she is on a limited budget. She said she got two jobs to try to pay for this increase. She has some other bills that she's trying to pay down. And this is a big hurdle for her. It's a burden to be paying this much more per month.
Well, and aside from the cars being stolen, and we've covered that a lot here at Fox 6, just the Kias and the Hyundais being targeted, that's obviously a big problem, not only for these car owners, but now clearly the domino effect of insurance premiums.
Absolutely. So we found out because we reached out to State Farm saying, you know, what could explain the increase in her cost? And they said there's a number of factors that monitor in. They said there are more people on the roads now, which is leading to more accidents. They said there's inflation and supply chain disruptions that are factoring in.
So it's not just the theft.
They're not
it's
saying
other
just,
factors.
But
yeah.
That is right. A factor because they went on to say they've stopped accepting new customer applications in some states for certain models and makes of Hyundai and Kia vehicles. And they're doing that because of increased thefts of the vehicles. And they basically say they're doing this to manage risk and to reduce the impact on all their other customers.
You might have just said this. Is she in Milwaukee?
She is in Kenosha.
Kenosha. Okay. And I wonder that because do we know if the rates are going up to a greater degree in areas like the city of Milwaukee, where we know those thefts have been so high. I mean, Kenosha is another area where they may have experienced some of this, but I don't know if it's to the degree Milwaukee has.
We did have those numbers in our report. So in Kenosha, since the beginning of last year, there have been 30 Kia and Hyundai vehicles stolen. So far this year, there's been about 10. So it's on pace. Let me double check that real quick. I wrote it down. So I'm sorry. I'm going to re-say that. So Jane lives in Kenosha. We have those numbers. They have 20 thefts since the beginning of last year. And so far this year, they have 10 thefts. So they're on pace mm-hmm. with what they saw last year. I did some reporting recently on Glendale, which is another community in Southeast Wisconsin. Theirs have actually declined so far this year. And in the city of Milwaukee, thefts of these vehicles are also declining. They really seem to peak around 2021, and they actually have been going down. So this year, I think they're down something like 32%
compared to last year. Down 32% from an insane high. Yes, so it's not as though this problem has gone away.
No, it's still around, and it's still a problem, but it may not be quite as prevalent, but it's still high enough that these insurers are saying, we have a real risk here, and we don't feel comfortable taking new customers who own these makes and models. We'll keep you if you're an existing customer, but you're probably going to see a rate increase based on that risk.
Did Jane end up calling any other insurance carriers? Because obviously we know State Farm, her stuff went up with them.
She did. So she called four other insurance carriers. Two told her, we're going to offer you something pretty similar to State Farm. And two told her, we can't offer you coverage, period.
Won't insure because of the make of the vehicle.
She said she was told it specifically over the phone, it's because of the car you own.
I seized on when you went through the different reasons for the increase. I know my own insurance company, we'll give a shout out to Germantown Mutual Insurance Company. the last time around, there was an increase in my rates, and I tried looking at what changed. And nothing had changed. Every category had just gone up incrementally. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to the agent, he said, it's true across the board right now. Rates are going up for everyone for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. Some of it was the hailstorms that you know, cost a lot of money for a lot of insurance companies. Some of it is just general inflation. So it's hard to separate. I wondered if can they separate how much of it is just the general inflation and these other rising costs for insurers and how much is specifically, I'm sure some of it has to be from those vehicle thefts because they're obviously at a level that's extraordinary.
Right. And I do think those other factors are certainly playing in. The question would be how quickly would and how much would her amount go up? And when we did ask State Farm and Progressive, they specifically said that they have made these changes in response to auto thefts. So we know that that is definitely playing a factor with people who own these makes and models in certain states.
So what did Jane end up doing? Did she stay with State Farm?
She told me she planned to stay with State Farm. She said at this point, it's not going to do me any good to switch with someone else. This is kind of the best rate I'm finding. So she doesn't feel like she has much of a choice.
The question is she going to stay with a Kia or Hyundai?
Is that not the question? She said she liked her car.
Yeah.
So that's so a lot of other people. Yeah. I know.
There's a reason people are buying them, but obviously there are.
And there are certain upgrades people can make. Like there's a software upgrade available. You can get the club for your car. And also there's more awareness of these thefts. So hopefully that's part of the reason these thefts are going down.
Does that affect your insurance rate? If you get a club or something, can they maybe give you a discount because you've taken an extra step?
It depends on who the company is, but yes, and especially if you get that software upgrade, that can help as well.
That's a good time for us to go off the record. This is the part of the podcast where we get a little more casual and have a little fun by answering a question for which we have not prepared, and of course Sarah is here to ask us that question. What do you have, Sarah?
Okay, this one made me laugh. What's something you're convinced other people are just pretending to like? What's something that is so widely popular, but you are positive that people only like it?
Olives.
Because they're pretending. Oh, I
not
love
again. Olives.
Stop. Kale.
Yoga.
Wait, green or black olives?
All.
He hates them all.
Every single one.
I motivate my children with olives.
Dude,
like, olives. If you finish this, I'll give you 3 green olives.
I said yoga because I think a lot of people, I think it's a posy. And I mean, literally it's posy, but I mean, I think there's some posing like, oh, I do yoga and I love it, but they hate it because that's my,
I'm kind of with you. It's so slow.
Oh, and I can never turn my brain off. They're like, just breathe. I'm like,
I've don't never been I'm able not to dissing
breathe.
Yoga.
Whenever someone tells me to breathe in and
all
breathe
I do,
out,
it's like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, 120, great.
I'm sure it is wonderful, and I know it has health benefits, fine. So I'm not dissing yoga as a great thing, but I think a lot of people proclaim that they love yoga when in fact they probably hate it, but they're just doing it because they're supposed to.
I'm going
to
add sparkling water to that list.
Oh, I love sparkling
water. Oh, like LaCroix?
Yeah.
That's all I do. Yeah.
Flavored spit really? Water.
no. When I was growing up, and I was, you know, this is the 80s and 70s and 80s, and soda became a big thing. And this is before the diet sodas were a big thing. And we always had the 2-liter bottles. And so we had a little area next to the refrigerator. There'd be a 2-liter bottle of Coke, maybe some RC Cola. Mm-hmm. And then my mom had bought club soda in a 2-liter bottle. And I don't know if that was for mixed drinks or what it was for, but I was like, oh, we're out of the Coke. I'll pour some club soda. And ever since that moment in my life, sparkling water, absolutely out, unless it's got something in it.
But
to flavor
I love it.
It
so much.
Well, that's what I like. Okay, I feel like I have run the gamut of like different brands and flavors and what I think is going to be good. And then I take a sip and I'm like, oh, it's not good.
It is an acquired taste. I started drinking it because I was expecting my first.
Yeah.
And I needed to drink water and I wasn't in the habit of drinking a ton of water. And so I started drinking this and it took a little bit, but I adjusted it.
So these weren't vodka LaCroix. These were just LaCroix. Right?
Wait, they make those?
There's so many brands now. You have to get what's on sale.
And that's what I'm saying. So like, I feel like I have purchased like 12 packs of them and I'm like, oh, just bring great. Now, okay, I might just have to do that. But
mine is, they're going to revoke my Wisconsin residency. Nah. Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Is it cream puffs?
It's cream puffs.
Oh, yeah. Same. No, you're right. I'm with you. I mean, we talked about that before State Fair, but I think that I'm with you 100%.
You know, they just don't have a lot of flavor to me. And by the time they've sat in our newsroom for a couple hours, they're very sad and lopsided.
That's not the cream puffs'
fault,
but
They already smell like sour. You walk in that building, and God, I love the State Fair, but I walk in that building and I'm like, it just smells like old milk.
Right.
Dave, I know, is back. Dave Machuda today is running the switcher for us. Dave, do you have something in mind for this one?
No, nothing.
No, that's baloney.
I'm too worried about what button I'm pushing back here.
So
seriously.
I will say real quick that this question, our 5 p.m. producer, 4 p.m. producer, Matt Kiesling, came around and asked based off of this story. So what are people printing? He localized it and said, what do people claim to like in Wisconsin? That's very Wisconsin, but don't really like. And cream puffs were on there, but some of the others on his list were cheese curds.
What?
I don't make the rules. We had to come up with options for the poll.
I get that some people may not like them. Everything, but
they're nuts. No, I agree.
Does he really think that people who claim to like cheese curds don't actually like them?
Some people, I think, jump on the bandwagon, the curd bandwagon, because everyone's like, let's get curds for the table. And everyone's like, okay.
All right. West Allis Cheese Shop at the public market. If you get fried cheese curds there and you're only pretending to like them, you're dead to me.
Oh, the clock shadow creamery ones. Okay, go.
The happy birthday song. Does anyone really like the happy birthday song?
Yeah, that's a flex.
Because, all right, it's someone's birthday and everyone's like, happy birthday. No,
Does anyone really like having it sung to them after 6 years old?
Okay, that was kind of funny. I do like that one. The other ones that I wrote down, Crocs.
I've never worn a pair of Crocs.
We've talked about it. I've got the Crocs by the door that I walk the dog or take the dogs out to go to the bathroom. That's it, though. That's the
I
only
thing. I think Dave has Crocs, too.
The Crocs are right next to your 2 air fryers.
Yeah.
And the not chicken, right the next. They're within 10 feet. They're not right next to them.
He wears them, too. Uses Bluetooth to...
We use both air fryers over the weekend.
I like how that's associated with Wisconsin. Is that like a local thing? Crocs?
Oh, no, I don't think so. No, okay. This is back to my list.
General.
What about
I mean, it is if you think Brett Favre, but that's a whole different story. Never mind.
Or camping. That's the other one I wrote down. People pretend to like.
Kale, do you just pretend to like camping? Because
I love camping.
Mm-hmm. I have to figure out how to do it right. Because we have a 5-person tent and there are 5 of us, but we all end up like rolling on top of each other.
If it's quoted on the box as a 5-person tent, like that's a 2-person tent.
You're right.
Because you've got to have room for the things that you're spreading out in there. And, absolutely. So.
I need to figure out like the air mattress mats or something so I don't have a root between my shoulders.
That's also, good quality air mattress makes a big difference in my book. Well, did you have more, or was that it? That's your
no. That okay. was it. All I right. mean, I could probably go on, but like, we got to keep this pretty tight.
That's it. Okay. So, if you have a topic you would like us to discuss on Open Record, or an issue you think we should investigate for Fox 6 News, send us an email to fox6investigators@fox.com. As always, thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Oh, by the way, Jenna, thanks for being on this week.
Thanks for remembering me.
And thank you to executive producer Sarah Smith, of course, our editor who is manning the switcher this week, Dave Machuda, as well as chief photographer and weekly switcher operator, Kale Zimney. With that, I'm Brian Polson. We'll be back next week.